Well, who here wants to go through that narrow gate? For all of my young life, I most assuredly did not want to go through it. If the gates at Disneyland, yes, land, because for 3 years as a young girl, I lived very close to the park in Southern California, also known as La La Land, rightfully. If the gates at Disneyland lead to the happiest place on earth, the opposite had to be through that narrow gate. Then, as now, the long shadow of Puritanism still looms over American religion. You know what H.L. Mencken said, that Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone somewhere may be happy. This ethic, this Puritan ethic, insists that to get through those narrow gates, you must wear the right clothes, believe the right things, have the right name, be around only the right people, and follow the rules your betters have made for you, which generally resulted in having no fun. One of my ancestors is the formidable Puritan minister Cotton Mather. Yes, that Cotton Mather, Salem witch trials. Who thundered that every step taken while dancing was a step nearer to hell? Anyone who broke the rules was shamed and shunned for life. Think that scarlet letter thing. In short, getting into heaven meant being an opinionated, judgmental killjoy. Well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is my ancestor, Cotton Mather, had it wrong. Grim propriety is not what the narrow gate is all about. The bad news? The road to and through that narrow gate is even more difficult than what the Puritans taught. And truly, in today's world, it means breaking many of our culture's rules. The narrow gate that Jesus Christ calls us to travel toward is the gate that leads to life. What to life? Life with God. Life with God is the life of the eternal one. In this life, God's will is done on earth, in heaven, in all creation. And what is God's will? Well, let's take a look at the descriptions in our lessons today. In Chronicles, we learn that our glorious God is the one who establishes justice and faithful love. In the Psalm, the voice of God speaks peace, mercy, truth, and righteousness. Interestingly, the same Hebrew word, tzedek, can be translated both justice and righteousness. Same word. A reminder of what justice and righteousness mean in the Hebrew language. Things are right, things are just, when all creation is as God created it to be, without human sinfulness devastating it. James and Jesus both insist that God delights in giving good gifts to humanity. God is extremely generous. And these gifts are nourishing and delicious gifts. It includes all of creation for us. What does human sinfulness look like? I want to remind you of what our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, teaches, that the best synonym for sin is selfishness. When we put our own self-interest, our own self-preservation, self-indulgence, ahead of justice, peace, mercy, truth, and faithful love that serve all people equally, we are sinners. Sin, James tells us, begins with refusing to listen to others, what their lives are like. Sin means talking at them and getting angry, and we are so angry now. And that is what leads to moral filth and wickedness. The opposite of sin is the way of life and will, the will of God taught by Scripture. All the law, all of the prophets, the whole Torah, and all of those prophets that speak to us from the Hebrew Bible, Jesus says, can be summed up with the words we all know, we've known since childhood. Therefore, you should treat people the same way that you want people to treat you. That's the whole Bible. The rest is commentary. Thus, the narrow gate and the difficult road, The way of love is, with humility, to do God's will on earth as it is done in God, by God in heaven, by being like God, speaking peace, giving good gifts generously, being merciful, telling the truth, listening to what others have to say, and being very patient, treating others the way you would like to be treated. The wide road to the broad gate that leads to destruction is the way of the world: materialism, self-righteousness, revenge, greed, bigotry, anger, and violence. Once again, today's headlines come straight from a 2,000-year-old book. The destruction we are seeing in the news today reflects perfectly how our culture teaches that walking down the wide road of selfishness is our right. And for those of who are white, it has even been our civic duty to live that way. I say this as a child of the 50s who spent her formative years not only in La La Land, but in the deep, deep South, in Alexandria, Pondville, Louisiana, in the mid-60s. I lived there from 1963 to 1966, pretty important years in the South. My family, like most military families, avoided discussing politics. We did not watch the news because the news on TV in the 60s was not fun for military people. And so I lived in a naive, uninformed bubble. I rode the bus to North Bayou Rapids Elementary School. And in the summer of 1964 and into the fall, during the Johnson-Goldwater election, as I was on the bus every school day that fall, we drove by a billboard that had Mr. Johnson's face painted black with big red lips and the words, "You want this man as president?" In my naive, uninformed bubble, I simply did not understand this billboard. But we didn't talk about such things at home, so I didn't ask what it meant. And I remained blithely ignorant for too long, for decades. Now, I did grow up, and of course I knew about racial tension in America, but I was still deeply ignorant. I had no incentive to be otherwise until the day came when I began to understand how far I had traveled down the road to destruction. Not because I was overtly bigoted, of course I wasn't, but because following the way of the world, I did not listen, and I never, ever asked myself how people of other races were treated. Maybe not by me, but by government and institutions acting on my behalf. On my behalf, they were not treating other people, people of color, the way I'd want to be treated. But I didn't think about it. Then one day in 2009, almost exactly 11 years ago, I just so happened to be visiting Birmingham, Alabama, visiting a pastor friend at his church. And I just so happened to mention that I wanted to visit the Civil Rights Institute in Birmingham. And someone at the church just so happened to mention that entry to the museum at the Institute was free that day. Woohoo, free! So I went downtown. There was some kind of festival going on in front of the park, in front of the Institute. You know, food vendors, live music, typical stuff. Didn't know what it was for. But I found the Civil Rights Museum, sure enough, free admission because it was Juneteenth. 3 days before turning 55, I had never heard of Juneteenth. When I came out of the Civil Rights Institute several hours later, I knew what the festival was about then. I was older, I was wiser, and I was a lot sadder. The museum had burst the uninformed bubble I lived in from childhood. And had it just so happened? Yeah. No. I knew that the hand of God had led me down that difficult road. I'd like to say I was a profoundly changed person after that day, but if I were to tell the truth, my uninformed bubble was replaced by an intentionally self-protective one. Who wants to think of themselves as being a willing beneficiary of a system that has official policies and deeply set cultural attitudes that easily and legally let me do the exact opposite of what the Golden Rule asks of me, demands of me? So this year, just before my 66th birthday, it just so happens that Mr. Floyd is killed in Minneapolis. And it just so happens that because of politics, I've learned about the Tulsa Race Massacre of 1921, which I knew nothing about until this week. How is that possible? Well, nothing is left of my bubble now because I believe, once again, it just so happens that the hand of God is leading me, and I pray all of us, on the way of love, down that difficult road to the narrow gate that leads to life, the humble life of discipleship that welcomes the word planted deep inside us, that life that speaks peace, gives good gifts generously, grants mercy, tells the truth, listens to what others have to say, and is very patient, not angry, and treats others, all others, no exceptions, the way we want to be treated, to enjoy God's good gifts of life and health and food and peace. As difficult as it is, my Lord, at long last, I truly want to turn my heart to you, to go through the narrow gate to life. Let me not only hear your word, but do it. Give me the boldness to ask for these good gifts. Give me the strength to search for them in your word already planted in me. Give me courage to knock on that door so that I really mean it when I pray each day, Heavenly Father, to do your will on earth as it is done in heaven, to do what I can do so that there is liberty and justice for all of your children. That, dear Lord, would be a great birthday present.